and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And when I go back down the road, I'm just begging God that we would have accomplished everything that the pastor has a vision for. That's my burden, that we would accomplish what God wants to do here through the pastor and you folks as faithful people. And so I'm burdened about that. I've told him repeatedly over the last several months, I want this to be a great conference. I'm praying that this would be a great conference. As it got closer, I could sense in my spirit the devil just working. I could just sense it. And I thought, well, that's good. That means God is working. Amen? And God's going to do something great in our midst. And I believe he has. And I hope that this will... It's not going to end here tonight. You just heard. We're going to go all out. We're going to keep right on going and go after Pocatello. What's the name of your county here, Pastor? Bannock, B-A-N-N-O-C-K?
Yes.
Bannock, okay. We got a town up in Montana, I think, called Bannock. Bannock County, Idaho. Amen? Just reach the whole county. Reach the next county. And just keep right on going. You got folks coming from Blackfoot. That's exciting. You run a bus to Blackfoot. And praise God, Pastor Don Whitaker took me up there years ago. I think the first time I was here. And he said, let's go on Saturday. Let's go up and knock on doors up there. And so we had a good time. And so I felt like I was at home when I saw that bus come in. And they got off the bus and they said, we're from Blackfoot. And I said, oh, I know right where you live. I've knocked on that in that neighborhood. And praise the Lord for that. I'm privileged. I'm blessed. And so good to be here with you. Romans chapter 1, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God tonight. Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verse 16, one verse tonight. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Heavenly Father, thank you for this verse. Thank you for this book. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I'm privileged. I'm privileged. I do not take that lightly. Make this count tonight. Lord, everyone in here, for the most part, will probably agree with everything that is said tonight. But there might be somebody here that's truly, truly never been saved. They maybe even profess to be saved, but they know deep down the Holy Spirit is convicting them that they're lost. They're still unregenerate. They've never been regenerated. Lord, they've never been justified. Lord, I pray that you'll work in their heart tonight. And I pray that they would come under the knowledge of their need. And I pray that in the altar call tonight, they would come and say, I need to be saved. Simple. One sentence, I need to be saved. Help us, Lord, tonight. Help us that are saved. The message is directed to the saved tonight. Help us to come under real conviction. Lord, it does make us uncomfortable. But Lord, the only way to get comfortable and to enjoy our Christian life is to have victory in Jesus. Help us to all have victory in Jesus tonight. Help us to deal with those things that the Holy Spirit of God brings to our heart. Every person in here is different. Everyone has a little different need. None of us are exactly the same in our Christian life, exactly where we're at. So we all have different things. But I pray, Holy Spirit, because you are only you are able to take the truths of the Word of God and spread it across a crowd like this and meet the need of every single believer. I pray tonight that you would just deal with us. And I pray that you would just help us to say, I'm not stepping out of this building until I get things right with the Lord. And I want to walk out victorious in Jesus. Help us, we pray. Help us as we serve you. Help us as we knock on doors. Help us as we run the buses. Help us as we have a vision. Help us as we pray for the lost. Help us every day to say, Lord, empty me. Fill me with you. Empty me of the flesh. Empty me of myself. Fill me with yourself. Jesus, only Jesus. May that be our rally cry. Jesus, only Jesus. May you help us to take some simple truths from this morning. Help us to go tell. Go and tell. Go and tell all week long. Lord, tomorrow morning, your people here will go to school, they'll go to work, they'll go to different events. Help us to say, I'm going and I'm telling. I'm going and I'm telling. Help us to have those divine appointments because we're prayed up, we're filled up, and we're ready to speak up. Help us to have those divine appointments where you bring somebody across our path and we say, God brought that person. I cannot ignore their need. I cannot run from the cause of Jesus Christ to speak to them. Lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Help us to see tonight that we are light bearers. We have the light. If we're saved, we have the light inside of us. Jesus is the light of the world. Help us to share that light. Help us not to keep it to ourselves. Help us not to be selfish, therefore sinful. Help us instead to freely give as we've been given to. Help us in turn to freely give. Help us to simply say, can I tell you what happened to me? Can I tell you what happened to me? And then tell them our spiritual testimony, our testimony of receiving Christ as Savior. Speak to us. Work in people's hearts tonight. Lord, there's some that should have been here. I pray right now where they're at, speak to them. We love them. We want the best for them. We want to help them. But speak to them, God. And I pray that you will take what needs to be said and get it to them somehow. Help us. Help us always put ourselves in the place of preaching. Help us to always put ourselves in the place of godly biblical teaching. Help us to always find ourselves there and not somewhere else. Pray that you'll bless now. We love these people. We love the boys and girls and the teenagers and the moms and dads and the adults. We love them. Thank you for them. Everyone has a different story. Thank you for those that are saved here tonight. Help us to all rejoice and say, it's great to be saved. What a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Famous verse in the Bible, Romans 1:16. The Apostle Paul writing to the Romans, he says, for I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Have you ever seen a bold Christian? One that could just speak up and speak up for the Lord? We've all seen Christians like that, haven't we? And we maybe stand back in awe. And we might even say, I wish I could speak up like that. Well, the truth is, God has called every Christian to speak up like that. Oh, you say, preacher, not me. I'm a very timid person. I'm a very quiet person. I'm a very reserved person. I just don't know the Bible as well as I would like. I just can't speak up. Well, yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you simply know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and that you have put your faith and trust in His shed blood on the cross of Calvary as the payment and cleanser for your sin. You've already called on Him and said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin and be my Savior. I trust in you by faith in your finished work on the cross of Calvary. If you've done that, you're a child of God, I believe, because that's all that God is looking for. He's looking for us to call upon Him, ask Him to save us, repenting, turning from our sin, and saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to save me. You know, as you do that, you're called a Christian, a little Christ. And you're a Christian. Don't be ashamed of that. I'm a Christian. Amen. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my God. He is my Lord. He is my everything. The truth be known. I may not always act like that, but that is truly the case. He is and needs to be more and more and more and more and more my everything. Okay? So, if he's your everything, then speak up. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Okay? Do you have a say-so salvation? Or are you keeping it under wraps? Huh? Are you a silent witness? Well, there is no such thing as a silent witness. You can't be a witness and be silent, right? Are you one of these shivering little dogs? Have you ever seen those little dogs that just are shaking? You know, they're so nervous, right? Is that you? I pray that you will not be afraid, but that you'll speak up. And you're going to hear in this message tonight how you can be an out-and-out, outspoken believer for Jesus Christ. Now, I could preach, Pastor asked me to preach tonight about being a testimony, being a Christian, being a soul winner. And his topic that he gave me was simply this: is God still using soul winning? Is God still using soul winning? Now, I could spend a lot of time there. I'm just going to make it one simple sentence here. God is still using soul winning. Okay? Just, you say, well, I don't know. Can I take your word for it? God is still using soul winning. What you've already started in the first almost 8 years of this church is a soul winning church. And the results you saw this morning, tremendous crowd. I was here a few months ago, didn't tell Pastor I was coming. I was on my way to preach in Montana, and I stopped in here on a Sunday morning. And I got to see, no advance notice, I got to see things just as they are. And a great crowd. I think it was summertime. Great crowd. I think it was in August, possibly. Great crowd Sunday morning. Isn't that exciting? And I had to go on in and travel to get to my preaching engagement. So I wasn't here on Sunday night, but great crowd again tonight. But you know, you see all those people who've come in, and they're representative. There's probably twice that number out there that have some connection to this church. Isn't that exciting? We have about five churches in Salt Lake. Pastor Atwood knows if they all came on one Sunday, we'd have to fill the gymnasium too. It's an amazing thing. And I think they send a delegate, you know. Well, it's your Sunday to go to church, okay? We're going to appoint you out of our family. You're going today. But if they all came, and that's true in a soul-winning church, if they all came on one Sunday, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Now, this is a soul-winning church, okay? But you're going to be a greater soul-winning church by the greater grace of God. Now, that doesn't mean that man is going to be puffed up. That's dangerous. We don't need to worship man. We're not glorifying the organization, Mountain Valley Baptist Church. No, we're here to glorify Jesus Christ. But as you grow and as you get more involved with soul winning, and you're seeing people down the aisle getting saved, and that has happened over and over through these 8 years. And as you see that increase, and you see your vacation Bible school and your camp and your bus routes and so on, as they increase, and I put that plug in there this morning. I don't know if you caught it. Maybe that was yesterday. Maybe it was yesterday that every Saturday you and throughout the week, you bus workers have got to get new riders lined up, okay? Always knocking on new doors. You cannot depend. Your bus route should never be stagnant. You need to always getting new because you'll lose some. You'll lose some, won't you? But same way with the church. Always, and love those visitors. Love those visitors. It's a gauntlet. I hate to apologize. I keep talking about two churches, the church in Milwaukee and the church in Salt Lake. But it's a gauntlet in Salt Lake when visitors come. People are shaking their hand, smiling at them, showing them kindness, showing them to their seat, caring for them. And when it's time for church to be over, as they leave, they're there again. And they care about them, and they're followed up on it. And I'm sure you do that here. But make sure that Every visitor is welcomed, okay? I preached at a church in Montana, and I denounced cliques. Oh, my goodness. Pastor got up and said, cliques are okay. Okay, I follow what the pastor says, okay? But cliques are a danger, okay? You're one big clique around here, which is good, okay? You're a family. So always stay that way. When this church is running 200, 300 people by the grace of God, still be that family. Do not break off into little groups and cliques. I realize there are people that you're a better acquainted with and so on, but make sure your visitors, make sure new people coming in are cared for and that you seek to help them. None of this is in my message tonight, and I apologize, I'm off on a rabbit trail, but I'm just burdened because I see things happening as I travel in churches, and I see, sadly, all kinds of things, factions and so on. I want to encourage you to keep that unity and that love for each other and so on. And if you have somebody that kind of rubs you the wrong way, why don't you just spend some time praying for them, okay? It's easy to talk about people, but just spend time praying for them. And pretty soon the Lord will help you to be more accepting and more helpful to them, and pray that God will mold them and make them into Christ's likeness, okay? So I want to preach to you tonight. The title of the message is In the Valley of Decision, The Battle for Souls. In the Valley of Decision, The Battle for Souls. And I'm gonna touch on some things. It might make us all, including myself, uncomfortable, okay? But just take my word. God is still using soul winning across America and around the world. In fact, that's what God does use, okay? And that's how we see people reach with the gospel, okay? You say, well, we're trying this new method and this new method. Well, there are many different tweaks of getting the gospel out, but it's all plain soul winning. And God says he'll bless it, and he does bless it. And the churches that are growing, old-fashioned, old-time religion churches that are growing, are soul-winning churches. That's where their members are involved with soul-winning. Everyday life at the workplace. Everyday life in the neighborhood. Everyday life at school. Everyday life in your family, your extended family, your relatives. Soul-winning, soul-winning, soul-winning. And then you say, well, I only focus on souls on Saturday. Well, you're missing out. You're missing out. Soul winning is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Every day, lead me to some soul today. You say, I never see anybody. Do you ever drive down the street? There are people coming the opposite direction. I have a video about Reaching America Baptist Partners that shows a nighttime scene with all these cars driving down a freeway, and all it is just streams of light, but that represents thousands and thousands and thousands of cars with people inside. Okay, well, I can't catch their car, but there are people out there that you're passing by. There are people everywhere. You go out to take the garbage to the alley, you'll find somebody there. Okay, don't scare them, but please go talk to them, right? Okay, you go over down your sidewalk. Somebody will invariably come down the sidewalk, okay? Wherever you go, the devil will give you 1,000 excuses not to talk about Jesus. He'll give you 1,000. You don't even have to think them up yourself. He just fills your brain with all kinds of excuses for anything in the Christian life, okay? Don't listen to the old devil. Okay, realize, oh, that's Satan who just put that thought in my mind. That's the devil. I'm not even going to give it a second thought, right? And praise God. Well, let's get into it. The power of the gospel. What is wrong sometimes in our churches? What is wrong with us in our own personal life? We are ashamed. Apostle Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What is the state of a lost soul. What is the condition of a lost soul? They're just the natural man. You say, well, why do they do these terrible things? I don't know about you. I told you how I accepted Christ as a five-year-old, and I was never a gangster, but I was a lost young man, full of sin, lost in my natural state. But when Jesus Christ came in, I became a spiritual believer. I was no longer in my natural state. Now, when I don't live for the Lord, I become carnal. I become carnal. My old preacher dad would say, as he preached in evangelism for 22 years, he said, son, you wouldn't believe, I think there's so many lost people that are in churches, in our good churches, in the name of Christ. They think they're saved, but they're lost. They're lost. Now, I'm not trying to get people to doubt their salvation here tonight, but I am saying we need to realize what is important in our life. What is the state? What is the state of a human being? What is our state of a lost soul? They're lost. They're lost. If I could just get a hold of that, that they're lost, if I could picture the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands that will fall into a lost estate, die and go to hell while I'm preaching here tonight. Just picture that great crowd of people falling from planet Earth into the depths of hell. Can you picture that? When I get a hold of that, I see the lost. I see what God sees all the time. When I'm busy doing things that are entertaining, God sees this world differently than I do. He sees people just going quickly into eternity without any hope. He knows. He cares about them. He made them. You know, think about it. He created them. You that are parents, you love your children. They're very close to you. Their body and so on, body and bone of yourself. They're your flesh and blood. You love them. Think about God who loves everybody on planet Earth. They say possibly more than 8 billion people right now. What staggers me that there's a huge number, maybe 50%, maybe 40%, who have never heard, they say, they've never heard the gospel. Isn't that staggering here in America that there could be that many that have never heard the wonderful, clear presentation of the gospel around the world tonight? That is awesome. Can you imagine the broken heart of God when he sees us that are saved and he sees us careless about telling somebody about Jesus? Do you care? Do I care? Do we care like we ought to care? Probably that would be the question to answer tonight. Do we care like we ought to care? Apostle Paul liked to use that word. Ought. I'm here to ask you tonight. I realize these are hard, tough questions. But we'll never go forward unless we deal with things. What, right, preacher? Are you with me tonight, preacher? Am I saying something wrong? We need a deal. We need a deal, right? We need to deal with things. I need to deal with things. We all have two hands with 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. And we need to take those and point them back here. Now, I'm preaching tonight, so I'm pointing this way. But guess what I have? I got all these fingers and thumbs, and they're all pointed back here. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. What is the state of a lost soul? They're natural. They're hopeless. They're undone. They're far, far, far from God. You say, well, they're nice people. Doesn't make a bit of difference. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. I know. That crosses the grain with us, doesn't it? I'm a good person. I came to the classes yesterday. I went out knocking on doors yesterday. I'm a good person. Well, I hope you're saved, number one. And most, as far as I know, were saved yesterday there that went out. Praise the Lord. You're a child of God. You're a brother and sister in Christ to me. I love you. But you know what? That doesn't make any of us good. Because God sees us as we really are. Now, we become like Christ when we get saved, and so in that way, we are his righteous ones, okay? I grant you that. But man says good and bad. Man has no idea because man does not see what God sees. And so God is honest when he says there's none good. But praise God for those that are his children who become righteous, right? Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, you and I should not take that lightly. We shouldn't go, see, I'm justified. I am in the process of sanctification. I am, and go on and on and on and on. No, you're bordering there, I think, almost on pride, right? Yeah, it's all because of Calvary. It's all because of the grace of God. It's all because of the love of God. It's all because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. It's all about his shed blood and his broken body for us. Thank God for that every day. I'm simply, if I'm right with God, I'm simply his humble servant. Okay? So now, I'm no longer natural in the natural flesh. I've never been normal. I'm no longer in the natural. I am now as a child of God in the spiritual. But what is the devil? The devil has lost me. Okay? He's lost me. Why doesn't he just quit bothering me and quit tempting me and so on? Because he wants me to lose my testimony. He wants me to lose the good influence I can be for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so he brings through temptation and sin into my life a carnal spirit, a carnal attitude. Now we're getting the rubber on the road here tonight, okay? Because some might have to say, Holy Spirit's telling me I've got carnality in my life. Carnality in my life. Now, how have you heard a wonderful sermon on Thursday night by Dr. Vogland on the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, okay? Carnality is an enemy of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. That's when you have carnality in your life and you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit indwells you, you are grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit of God. And you know who the Holy Spirit of God is? God. You're grieving God. You're quenching the power and the work of God in your life. And you know what? That hurts the Lord. How can we, who have been given so much and have been so blessed to be saved tonight and so on, how can we do that to our Savior? How can we do that? You say, man, that's heavy, preacher. That's heavy. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says, okay? And we need to hear it. You say, I want a preacher that preaches the whole counsel of the Word of God. Well, that's what you're getting. The whole counsel of the Word of God, okay? Well, I don't like it. Well, if you get preached to the whole counsel of the Word of God and you're a believer and you have a need in your life, every believer will have something in their life that needs to be addressed. You are going to be uncomfortable, okay? And the church here is not to comfort the comfortable. Church here is to preach the Word. Amen? Teach and preach and sing and fellowship and work together for the greatest cause on this planet, the cause of Jesus Christ, which is souls. He washed my eyes with tears. God has tears as he sees a lost and dying world. Oh, my friends, could we see as Christ sees tonight? Number one, the state of a lost soul. Number two, the spiritual natural nature of the battle. The spiritual nature of the battle. Matthew 16, 18. You know, the Bible in Matthew 16, 18 talks about the gates of hell. We're in a battle tonight against the devil and the gates of hell. This is no game tonight. We are in the greatest war ever in human history, the spiritual fight, the Christian's fight. We're in a fight. That doesn't mean I'm going to walk around with a face like, put your dukes up. We're in a fight. No, our fight is not against flesh and blood. Is it? It's not against, I'm not fighting these young men down here. I'm in the fight against the devil, okay? I'm against all of his spiritual wickedness and all the imps of hell. I'm in a fight spiritually, okay? You ladies are in a fight spiritually. By the way, you parents, I see so many young people that are just walking away from everything they were ever taught from the Bible. They get to a certain age and they just walk away. I'm just so burdened. I see so many wonderful young people in this church. And I'm here to say, moms and dads, get the heart of your children. Get God to get their hearts. That should be your... You say, well, I've got to go to work to provide for them. That's one aspect of life. Your main aspect is when you get home from work, as you spend time with those children, and you seek to bring them to a salvation, and then to a godly walk and a love for Jesus Christ that will last the rest of their life. Get their hearts. You moms and dads, get the hearts of your girls. Get the hearts of your boys. Spend time. My dad, we'd have devotions about 8:30, 9 o'clock every night. It was called Bible reading and prayer. That's what we call it. It's time for Bible reading and prayer. And we'd gather around the living room. My dad would read scripture. We'd share prayer requests, have prayer. My mother would go to bed. My sister would go to bed. My brother would go to bed. Just my dad and I would spend time talking about spiritual things all through high school. I went to a public high school, wicked, wicked public high school, 2,000 students in Missoula, Montana. I was one of very, very, very few professing Christians. It was 1970, 71, 72, 73, 74. My brother and I and another young rancher's boy from a ranch, we were the only three in that whole high school boys that had short hair. I went to the barber every month whether I needed it or not. By the way, I did need it. And back then I did have hair. I always forget. I had so much hair the barber said, "You'll never go bald." I'd like to find that guy. But I had so much thick hair up here. And so every month, my brother and I, my dad, would trot down to the barber. And my dad would be witnessing to those people in there. It was exciting. And they'd have their country western twangy singing going on in the background off the radio. And my dad would be witnessing to them about the Lord. Now, you say, well, isn't that wonderful? He cared about their soul. Yes, he did. But it probably made more of an impact on my brother and myself. Where are the dads? We need some godly dads. You say, I'm in church. Isn't that sad that that is now the default? I made it to church. Praise God, I'm not knocking it. But I am here saying the greatest spiritual battle is going to be won from Monday through Saturday inside your house. You go back in the book of Deuteronomy and you see what God's plan is for raising godly children. And so, praise the Lord. I just am burdened. This wasn't even part of my message. I brought this from Salt Lake. I was raring to go. But I see, and I think, oh, may they not lose any of those young people to the devil and to the world. Boy, we had a good time. Pastor Whitaker has so many good ideas. And he took me out to eat along with all these young preacher boys last night. I'm really on for the ride. I find out things almost last second sometimes. Now, he has it highly organized. But last night, he said, all right, guys, tonight's going to be a spiritual time. I said, amen. We're not talking about anything but spiritual things. I said, amen. We get to the restaurant. We got our food ordered. And he said, now, every one of you has to think up a question to ask Brother Hoover. I'm like, whoa, they didn't prepare me for this. And so good questions, good questions, one after another, all the way around that group. And then Pastor took off after I had my 2 cents worth. He took off, and I was just enjoying listening to him. And thank God for a pastor that will care for the young people. Amen? And he cares for the older people, too. Yeah. He's only 27 years old. Right? Isn't that great? Some of you can't even remember when you were 27. And he cares about you. And you know, I'm not here to puff him up. I'm simply saying, caring for those young men, that made the world of difference in my life when I stayed up and talked to my dad. And boy, by the time I was 15, I took 2 years of Latin, my freshman and sophomore year in high school. I took Latin. They offered Spanish and French and German, but I took Latin. Because I said, you know what? I'm going to appease my parents. I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a pastor. But I'll appease them. I'll be a missionary doctor. That sounds spiritual, doesn't it? Yeah, nothing against missionary doctors. I don't know of any, but praise God for those that do go to the foreign field and help people medically because they can win them to Christ too. But I thought, I'll do that. When I was 15, the end of my sophomore year, or so, somewhere in there, my father bought a bus. This was a brand new church in Missoula, Montana. By that time, it was only about four or five years old. And so he bought a bus. The bus ministry was brand new in America. Wally Beebe had just put out his little yellow book all about the bus ministry. It was all new. And we were the only church in Missoula that had a church bus ministry. And we began to run that bus. My dad, I'll never forget, was driving down the street on Russell Street in the south side of Missoula. And we came to Russell Park West, which was a brand new complex of apartments. And he said, son, I think there's a lot of kids in that complex. And my brother was in the back seat, my sister was in the back seat, and I was in the back seat, my mother was ahead, and my dad was driving. And he handed me a pile of tracks and some bus flyers. And he said, son, go build a bus route. I'm looking at my brother thinking, well, he's talking to him, right? No, he was talking to me. And he stopped and he said, get out and knock on doors. And he drove off. I'm not recommending that. I'm just saying that's what happened. That's what happened. The first door, I was scared to death. I knocked and I said, Lord, don't let anybody answer. The second door, I knocked and said, Lord, don't let anybody answer. By that time, I got to the third door. Nobody had answered, and so I stopped praying. And somebody answered the door. And I said, we have a bus that comes by here every Sunday morning picking up boys and girls for Sunday school. Would you like to send your children on the bus? And there were two little kids poking their head out. And the mother said, sure. I said, you know this is a bus that takes children to Sunday school in church, right? Yes, I'd love to send them. I signed them up and they became our first riders. By the time I went off to Bible college, 2 or 3 years later, I visited that bus route every single Saturday on a 10-speed bike, all the way to the north end of the city, the older part downtown, all the way back out to the south end of the city. And we had 50 riders every Sunday by the time I was a senior in high school. God began to change my heart. I said, Lord, this is the greatest thing in all the world. People getting saved. Boys and girls getting saved. Whole families getting saved. And I get to be part of it. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I surrender all. And the best thing that can happen to this church is that everybody get under that experience of talking to people about Jesus. You don't have to ride a 10-speed bike. You don't have to be 15. You don't have to work in the bus ministry. But everybody should be a soul winner. Everybody. Now, the bus ministry affords many good opportunities, doesn't it? But you know what? You may not work in the bus ministry, but you need to be a soul winner. Be a soul winner at work, at home, at play, at school, in the neighborhood, with your family members, extended. Love souls. Pray for souls. Now we're going to get into the nuts and bolts. I don't have much time left, but listen quickly tonight. I want you to see several things. There is the battle in the heart of the soul winner. What is the battle? The battle is not to be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:8, he said, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. He was in prison, and there were others that came around, and they said, we're not ashamed of Paul. Don't be ashamed of somebody that's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed. My dad was not ashamed of me when he dropped me off. He just knew already that I was ready to fly. I didn't know I was ready to fly. He knew I was ready to fly. I'd grown up knocking on doors, but never by myself. So he said, go. Jump out of the nest and go. He was not ashamed of me, but he knew that God was beginning to work in my heart. So boldness is found in our personal walk with God. How in the world can we not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can we not be ashamed of Jesus? Well, first of all, we got to get close to Jesus. We've got to be excited about serving Jesus. We've got to love Jesus. We need to every day say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. All the time, walking close to the Lord. What are the enemies in our life that will keep us from walking close to God? What are those enemies? Write them down and say, from now on, that is anathema. Okay, that's a big word. It's in the Bible, but it means I'm not going to go. That is off limits. I'm trying to put it in a paraphrase. That is not anything that I'm going to enjoy in my life from now on. It is the worst, okay? I am going to write down the things that are enemies of me walking with the Lord. So boldness is found in our personal walk by knowing and trusting our Savior. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed. He got a real dose of salvation, didn't he? He was out and out against the people of God, against the Lord before he got saved, but he got saved and he became all out for Jesus Christ. And so he was not ashamed. And then boldness is not only found in knowing and trusting, but boldness is also found in righteousness and holy living. Proverbs 28:1 says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Okay? Now, you should not have to conjure up some self-made fleshly boldness. You need to walk with the Lord and boldness will follow. Walk close to the Lord. Have a clean life. Live separated from this wicked world. Hate the devil. I hate him more every day. I see what he does to people. I see what happens when people yield to him. I hate the devil. Okay? And we need to hate him and hate everything that happens in our life because of him. And as you ask the Lord to separate you from these things that are a hindrance spiritually, just, Lord, no more. Remember that big long word, anathema. Okay? No more, no more, no more, no more. And you walk closer to the Lord and you have victory in your Christian life, you will naturally become bolder. And you're on your way. And then next, soul winning is being a disciple. Are you a disciple? Now you say, I'm a Christian. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? What is it? What is it to be a disciple? That means one that is going to, first of all, as it says in Luke 9:23, deny yourself. Die daily. Okay? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him daily. Luke 9:23, the cost of being a disciple. Matthew 16:21, the cost of fellowship. What does it cost to fellowship closely with the Lord? It means that I will have to deny some things in my life that will pull me away from God. So soul winning is being a disciple. We see the cost of discipleship. We see Jesus made fishers of men. He made disciples. He said, follow me. And Matthew 4:19, and I will make you a fisher of men. And then that wonderful work of being a disciple comes through faithfulness. A faithful disciple, abiding in him. John chapter 15, 4 and 5 talks about fruit bearing. It talks about abiding in the vine, okay? He is that wonderful vine. We are the branches, and we need to realize there is a real fruit-bearing process. And if you try to do it any other way, if you say, well, I want to be the vine, you will never be a fruit-bearing disciple. So just seek to be that godly, fruitful branch. You may have to do some pruning, and we need to be ready for that pruning. Some of you take your dogs to get their hair cut, don't you? And they come back, and they look totally different. The neighbor says, did you get a new dog? Well, no, we just got a haircut. You know, you can see I have a barber. Some of you have the same barber as I have, okay? And not making fun of you, but fellow went to the barber, and he was bald. And he asked the barber, he said, sir, could you give me a crew cut? And the barber said, your crew done bailed out. And so that's what happened to me. And you take your dog and get him sheared, it's a total change. When we let God prune us in our life and cut those things that are wrong and sinful out of our life, he is able then to produce more and more and more and much fruit. Okay? So, last of all tonight, the spiritual battle and the power of God. Boldness is found in being yielded to the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit in John 16:8 says, God says that the reprover of sin, God himself, the Holy Spirit, reproves of sin and he convicts us. That word reprove means he convicts us of our need, okay? Most places you go and they don't want to hear that. Preacher, I don't have any conviction. I don't want to hear any preaching on sin. So a lot of independent Baptists, it's hard to imagine, have stopped using the word sin. Well, I want to go to a church where we hear preaching on sin, against sin, not for sin, against sin. And I want to go to a church where the devil is called out. That's another thing. You might go to a church where they preach against sin, but they hardly ever mention the devil. Satan, he's our enemy. I need to identify and remember who my enemy is. Say, you're crazy. Well, I know one thing, if I don't do these things that I'm preaching about tonight, I'm never going to be what God wants me to be. You say, well, you're a preacher, reverend. Don't use that word in front of my name, please. I love the word pastor, but I'm not really quite the pastor that I once. I don't have a local church to pastor. But if God calls you to preach, don't stoop to be a king. I told the boys last night, if God calls you, not your mother, not your father, not your grandma, not your grandpa, not your aunt, not your uncle or somebody else, your preacher, if God calls you to preach, don't stoop to be a king. Amen? Amen. My dad had two sons, and both of us became preachers, Paul and Mark. Mark was afflicted. Our sister was greatly afflicted. She was born with Down syndrome. My brother was born, and by the time he was 18, both of his kidneys had failed. 2 weeks before he graduated from that same high school, Sentinel High School, Missoula, Montana, 2 weeks before graduation, I was already gone to Bible college. 2 weeks before graduation, that one kidney that he had left, it failed. You know, dialysis was fairly new in America at that time. But dialysis was only in major cities. But my dad had been called to pastor in Milwaukee. What a joy. He was able to put my brother, who was now very, very sick, because you don't find out your kidney fails until you get very, very sick. And he was very, very sick. He and my mother got on a plane and flew from Missoula to Milwaukee. Landed, and immediately he was taken to the dialysis center and began the process. 3 times a week, hours and hours and hours, as an 18-year-old boy. But you know, he had a sweet spirit. He had already been rebelling somewhat against God. He did some things in high school that I never got involved with, by the grace of God, I'm thankful. But he was. But that experience, God got a hold of his heart. And he said, all to Jesus I surrender. Within 6 months, he got a kidney transplant. And praise the Lord, he went off to Bible college, graduated and pastored several churches. When he was around 47 years of age, he was a pastor and serving the Lord. And just he and his wife. And he passed away in his sleep. But I think of that. I was the only one in our whole family that had a healthy body. There was always a lot of expectations of me. But I thank God for the expectations my mom and dad had of me. But I'm far more concerned about the expectations that God has for me. Yeah. My brother is a good reminder to me. It can be gone just like that. Just like that. Don't think you are immune from some things. Realize what you have tonight and say, praise the Lord, I get to win souls. I get to tell people about Jesus. I am alive and I'm a child of God and I go to a great church and I don't have to wonder where I should send my converts, those who I lead to the Savior. Where should I send them? I know I can send them to Mountain Valley Baptist Church. And get excited about it. You say, well, I'm not there, Pastor. Well, I'm just going to put the cookies on the lower shelf. Take those gospel tracts. There's numbers of them beautifully printed in that track rack. Start handing those out. Just start handing those out. And say, Lord, make me a soul winner. Help me to speak up. But just hand out gospel tracts. Just start there. If you do it regularly, God will bless that. God will bless that. And pretty soon you'll be talking to the neighbor lady across the fence, if you're a lady. Gentlemen, you'll be talking to your neighbor in the garage, your neighbor that's a man. And you'll be talking to them and start handing out gospel tracts. Every single piece of mail that goes out of your house, put a gospel tract in there. And just start handing them out. Loving souls. Pray over those tracts. Put your hands on them and say, Lord, bless this gospel tract. May it be a permanent missionary around our area or even around the world. See, God can do great mighty things if we believe him. If we will ask him and believe when you ask him. He wants to do so much. He's weary with his own children who don't ask him. He wants to hear our cry, Lord. He wants to hear us say, Lord, I need you. Not just when it's some kind of a earthly emergency? No, all the time. Lord, I need you today. You say, I don't need the Lord. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You don't recognize it, but you do. Nothing's going to happen. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord's going to take care of you. But he'd sure like you to ask, right? He'd sure like to ask. I've often said, God blesses me in spite of myself. God blesses me in spite of myself. Shame on me. I have a great God, a great Savior. I've lived a great life. God has been so good to me. Grew up in an amazing, amazing home. I've pastored tremendous people. And young preachers still ask me to come and preach. I can't figure that out. I'm not going to tell them no. I'm here tonight. Thank you for listening. Last of all, God wants to hear our cry. He wants us to be filled with his Spirit. It's not by our work, Titus 3:5. It's not by our work. It's his work. So we need to wait for the promise. Acts 1:4-5 and verse 8. They waited for the Holy Spirit to come. And he came. And you know, the moment you get saved, I firmly believe biblically, the moment a person trusts Christ as their Savior and gloriously saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside. But he wants to do more than live inside. He wants to fill us. And then we see the church that is empowered by the Holy Ghost, Acts 4:8. Look what happened in that early church. They were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved, baptized, and added to the church. Isn't that amazing? They say within weeks, maybe months, but within a short time, the church in Jerusalem had 50,000 50,000 members. Wow. By the way, we serve the same God who has the same desire. Does God still use soul winning? That was the topic. I said yes. My final salutation tonight is just with the power of God, go. 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 It may not be very far. It may be in your house tonight. Go and talk to a loved one that's there without Jesus as their Savior. Lovingly, with a broken heart and with tears, pray for their soul. And then talk to them. Talk to them. Oh, you say, I've talked to them 1,000 times. Talk to them one more time. One more time. Last of all, there is power through prayer and belief, Acts 4:31. We don't pray. And if you don't pray, you certainly aren't believing. We don't pray and we don't believe. The power source is on. It's on tonight. God keeps it on all the time. The Holy Spirit's power. Quit denying the work of the Holy Spirit through you. You can be a champion for Jesus Christ. Well, I think brother so-and-so would be better. I think sister so-and-so would be better. After all, they're super Christians. God's not looking for super Christians. He's looking for yielded, surrendered Christians who want to serve Jesus more than anything. I love that truth. More than anything. More than anything. I know this hasn't been some profound sermon tonight, but I have just given you my heart. I'm excited to be saved. The greatest days of my life have been when I've talked to people about Jesus. The most useless, worthless days of my life when I've talked to them about Paul Hoover or something else. Jesus, only Jesus. Is God talking to you tonight? This altar is going to be open. If you're here without Jesus as your Savior, I don't know. Might be one. I don't know. Only God knows. And you, if you're here without Christ, I invite you. As soon as you hear that music play, you step out and run down this aisle. We'll show you how to be saved. If you are saved, run down this aisle. If God is speaking to your heart, if he's speaking, truly speaking to your heart, and you're saying, Lord, I want so much. I want so much for you to do something with me. I want my life to count. I want my life to count for eternity. Is that your desire? Then you rush down this aisle to the altar tonight and you cry out to God. Spend all the time it takes for God to do what he wants to do in our life. Father, we thank you now for this night. Help us speak in hearts and lives. Have your will and way. There might be somebody that's not saved in this place tonight. What a shame it would be to hear all about soul winning and hear all about Christian living and hear all about the power of God and hear all about salvation and walk out of here without Christ. And then for us that are saved, I'm just broken over that truth. I want my life to count for Jesus. Some want their life to count for other things, but I want my life to count for Jesus, for the cause of Christ, for that which is eternal. It's never going to pass away. It's going to count for all eternity. The price and the worth of one soul, help us tonight. Help us. It starts right here. We've heard it all week. Now we conclude this first day of the week. Ready for a new week if you tarry. Ready to finish the month of February well. Help us. We'll be saying next week, I love my church. We'll be saying, I love Jesus. But the truth is, do we really love you? As you asked Peter of old, Simon of old, do you love me? Lovest thou me? I know you're asking us the same question tonight. Do you really love me? Are you willing to surrender all? Help us. Just before I say amen, let's have everyone stand all across the room. Heads are bowed, but everyone.